It's been 6 years since slimy, obnoxious creatures terrorized a small picture postcard town in the movie Gremlins. Now the little monsters are back and multiplying in Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Film critic Stephen Schiff has this review.
The very idea of a sequel makes most of us turn up our nose. But in one way, a sequel has it all over the original. If the premise is complicated, and in these movies it usually is, the original always has to spend a lot of time developing it. In the case of Gremlins, for instance, we had to see the little Frank Capra-style town. We had to learn about the movie's central family, and then we had to discover the furry little animal called the Mugwai that the father bought from some old Chinese sage. Finally, of course, we had to learn the rules about not letting the Mugwai get wet and not feeding it after midnight, all of which obviously took time. But in Gremlins 2, this stuff is reestablished in a flash, and the movie can zip right into its own deliriously hyper world. The setting is New York City, mostly inside a financial empire a lot like the Trump empire. And the pace is very fast, very jazzy and irreverent and hip. The movie's Trump is called Clamp, and he's played with a wonderful combination of ingenuousness and sleaze by John Glover. His tower is full of high-tech gizmos that don't quite work. And wherever you go, voices tell you things like, "Have a powerful day." And behind one door, a speaker blurts, "Mister, welcome to the men's room. I sure hope you wash those hands." Upstairs, where they do biological experiments, cows are being forced to listen to self-help tapes that say, "I enjoy giving milk. I enjoy giving milk." And nearby, under the malevolent gaze of Christopher Lee, who used to play Dracula, the poor little Mugwai is about to be experimented on. That's when our hero, Billy, played by Zach Galligan, finds him and helps him escape. And that's when the poor thing accidentally gets wet. Before Clamp and his henchmen know it, the whole building has been invaded by the Mugwai's accidental offspring, those scaly, pointy-eared, ferociously mischievous creatures known as gremlins. Billy tries to stop them, but he's mistaken for a saboteur and he's arrested. And even after he's released, of course, nobody believes him.
Sir, you've got to evacuate the building.
Not the suit, please. Evacuate the building? Why is that?
There are creatures in it, sir.
Creatures?
Yes, well, at least they start out as these small furry animals, and then what happens is they eat after midnight, they metamorphose, and they form these cocoons.
Help, sir. You're having a psychotic episode. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Sir, you got to listen to me.
Wait a minute. This is good. First they start out furry, then they have cocoons.
Well, no, they eat, and then they go into the cocoons.
Yeah, well, sure. You're going into a cocoon. You want to have a little something first.
Joe Dante, who directed the first Gremlins, is on hand again here. But he's in a much jollier, less mean-spirited mood. Working from a tangy script by Charlie Haas, Dante keeps his gremlins as nasty and childish as any good projection of the id should be. But he doesn't linger over their evildoing, and he packs so many gonzo movie and pop culture references into the mayhem that the movie feels like some kind of vast, crazy game show. It keeps quizzing you and then rewarding you for getting the right answer. Dante and Haas seem never to have suffered from a script conference. There's no idea so weird that the movie isn't willing to let them go out on a limb to pursue it. And by the middle of the film, when Dante pulls a trick so audacious that you feel like your brains are falling out, the movie has convinced you thoroughly that anything can happen. Bring the kids or don't. After all, anarchy is for grown-ups, too. But of all the blockbusters the summer has unearthed so far, Gremlins 2 is the one you've got to see.
Stephen Schiff is critic-at-large for Vanity Fair.